You're listening to the Scriptlast Screenwriting Podcast, a podcast designed to help you write better screenplays and write a better life. I'm Hudson Phillips, a writer and indie film producer from Atlanta, Georgia. Today's discussion is pulled from one of our weekly Zoom calls in the Scriptlast members online community. All writers understand the ups and downs of the journey, the constant struggles with rejection, procrastination, self-doubt. So today I'm joined by M.K. McFadden, Jay Cotteram, and Larry Guzman as we walk through a series of affirmations, exercises, and group discussion around rebooting our mindset. We spend the first half of the call focusing on the positive and the second half learning how to reframe the negative in a positive light. The more we focus on the positive, the more we attract positive things. So come ready to take some notes and play along at home. If you're interested in joining us for a future Zoom call, check out Scriptlast members. You'll find a ton of amazing resources, online courses, and an inspiring community to help you write more consistently. Try it free for a week at members.scriptlast.com. Also of note, I have a brand new book out, Writing Unforgettable Characters, How to Write a Character-Driven Screenplay that Connects Emotionally with Your Audience, is now available on Amazon for all of you writers who struggle, like me, with writing compelling, driven characters. This book will help you diagnose where you've gone wrong and help you write stories that are more personal and more emotionally connected to your reader. And the best part is Writing Unforgettable Characters is only $7.99 on Amazon right now. Okay, on to the chat.
Cool. Well, today, first of all, it's great to see you all again. It's been a minute, but I'm excited about today because I wanted to, I feel like it's something that just I need right now is to really just kind of do a mindset reboot, kind of look at where we're at right now, what we're frustrated with. So we're going to spend the first half of this call just really focusing on the positive, focusing on what we're grateful for. And then the second half kind of, all right, well, now that we're all jived and positive and excited and happy, kind of look at what do we do when those negative emotions rear their head. So we'll spend the second half kind of dealing how to deal with negativity as well. But let's jump off with something we haven't done in a while, which is just positive affirmations. So as always, I'm going to read an affirmation, kind of take a deep breath, let you guys take it in. You can repeat it to yourselves in your head or out loud on mute, whatever works best for you. So, but let's jump into it and just take a few minutes to reset and find our focus. So I'll read an affirmation and we'll focus on each one. So deep breaths. My stories have value. My first drafts don't have to be perfect. The only person I'm in competition with is myself. I am evolving as a writer every day. I write with confidence. I choose my success. I love and accept myself just as I am. I am qualified. I am in love with the writing process. I am grateful for the writing journey. My writing adds value to the world. I am generous with my talent. I live a creative life. I am in control of my destiny. I am confident in my future success. All right, so we're going to do a few exercises today. So if you guys have a notepad or a notes document or whatever, I'm going to be asking you to write some things out as we focus on these questions. But all these are going to be, you know, focusing on the positive in our lives, things that are coming up, our goals, the things that we're grateful for. So first of all, take a moment and list three things that you're most proud of from the past year. Three things that maybe you've accomplished. Maybe you've, it's a new creative goal you've reached in your life, maybe a new personal goal, just something that you're proud of, something that you, you know, when you think back on as a positive experience, and just spend a few moments listing out three main ones and really sitting with those emotions and what they made you feel. Does anybody have one they want to share? Something that you're really proud of from the past year?
Sure, I'll go. I have three. So the first one is I finally learned to love myself through lots of therapy. So like I've always struggled with self-love a lot in my life. I don't self-hate anymore, but it's really hard to have self-love. But I started learning how to do it. And like since February, I've been going to therapy 4 times a week. So that's been a huge help. Other thing is I learned to manage my anxiety and other illnesses. So that's made it easier to just be outside and just be myself and be happy. And the third thing is I created an outline for the fifth draft of my novel that remakes it into a whole new story. So that I'm pretty proud of too, because it's like, it hugely expands the story. It's full of drama now. It's not just one POV, but like two and a half points of view. So you know, that one of them is the antagonist's point of view. So
cool. So AJ, that's awesome. I love hearing stuff like that. And I really believe that those, that kind of personal work with that we do infiltrates everything that we do. So it goes into our writing and allows us to look at things from a different perspective, allows us to look at kind of pain and suffering from a different perspective. When we learn to heal from those things, we're able to write about those things with some authority. So I think those things are very much connected. And I think, you know, all those things you kind of mentioned, self-love, therapy, really tapping into some of those things helps us elevate us as writers as well. So next one, what are three compliments you'd like to hear from someone you respect? So what are three things that, you know, you think about that person who you really look up to? What would you love for them to say about you? Or maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's the other people in this group. What kind of compliments would you like to hear about yourself? Focus on those for just a minute. Since we already heard from Jay, MK, or Larry, do you guys have a compliment for yourself that you kind of want to share?
Sure. I think the first one I put was you're a great storyteller, which is something I would always want to hear from like a writer I respected. And then I had the last one was your notes really helped. So it's like I helped a really great writer make their story better, which would be something I would want to hear.
I love that. I love that that it's kind of one focused on you and one kind of focused on others of what you provide for other people, which I think says a lot about you. Are those things that you feel are already true about yourself, or are those things you're striving towards?
Yes and yes. Like, I think I'm a pretty good storyteller, and I think my notes are helpful, but I'm always like, I'm always like pushing myself to go a little further.
Maybe, that's great. You know.
Be better.
Yeah. And I think it's good to remind ourselves of those things that we see in ourselves. But I think, you know, we're so bombarded by the negativity throughout a day or a week that we often forget those things that we really love about ourselves. Next one. This is kind of similar, but what do you feel like you do extremely well? What's something that you're really proud of your abilities to do? And then a second part of that question is, how can you use those things to add value to others? So what do you do well, and how can you use that to add value to others? Larry, do you have one of those you want to share?
Sure. Well, I'd like to think that I can see my character's choices and then see how they'll end up. Like what will happen if, you know, he decides this or he decides something else, and just, okay, and then myself, of course, choose which one would be better for this overall story. And I think, yeah, I do that for myself all the time. I tend to overthink choices. And
so you feel like that's something that you do a good job helping other people with, but not necessarily.
Yeah. Yourself. Yeah. I mean, I think with characters, it's easier because, you know, you want to keep the story going. Yeah. But myself, you know, tend to overthink it and get stuck, you know, with indecision.
So. Yeah, I like that exercise because it helps. I think a lot of times we look at our personal goals as selfish, and we look at our the things that when we focus too much on ourselves, it feels like a negative thing because we are too self-absorbed or whatever. But so often those things that we're blessed with or things that we've learned over the years or things that we've worked on for ourselves add value to other people and add value to the people around us. And they're actually strengths in order to help people, which is a very selfless thing. So I love looking at that from that perspective. Next, what are three just things? So think completely materialistically, be super selfish. What are three things you're grateful for? You know, maybe it's a car, it's your home, maybe it's, you know, a killer pair of headphones, maybe it's a piece of clothing, maybe it's, I don't know, just something in your life that you're grateful for, a material possession. And let's have everybody answer that one because it should be a quick one.
All right. So one thing I'm going to share is my best friend, Yelena. She's like my closest friend. She's literally like if I had a twin sister I never knew. And then I got to meet her for the first time. She's amazing, man. She's also my first and biggest fan of my writing. And so right now I didn't even prompt her to do it, but she's rereading my fourth draft. Cause she's really hyped for the fifth one.
That's great.
Yeah, man. That's like a once in a lifetime friendship I have with her.
That's super cool. Love it. What about you, MK?
I actually put my car. There was a long time I didn't have a car. And so I'm almost done paying it off. And it's just kind of like, you know, like, oh wow, my life has changed so much from this one purchase. It's kind of nice to think about it.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference. Larry, how about you?
I will say this, my computers and my various tablets, laptops, and desktop here. Just because, you know, it allows me access to, you know, great resources like this Script Blast and even Stage 32 and a lot of other, you know, resources to help me with my writing. So, and the internet, I guess that goes gets coupled with that.
But that's awesome. Yeah.
That's what came to my mind first.
Yeah. I feel like I spend way too much time in front of this computer screen, but they're all great things that it provides for me. I have at least, so I went on vacation recently and took a break from my phone for a full week. My wife and I were on a cruise, and when I got back, I feel like I've at least cut social media out a little more, which I felt like was a negative thing in my life. Spending time doing more calls like this, spending time writing, spending time doing productive things on our technology, I think is great.
Yeah, especially, I mean, having just a script writing program that helps you that gets you to format, because I cannot imagine doing this on a manual or even electric typewriter, because you have to give it up to the, you know, anyone who wrote a screenplay before, you know, word processing became a thing.
Yeah.
Because they had to type it, they had to put in all the tabs. If you ever looked at a manual typewriter. It's crazy. So
I can't imagine. Yeah, I'm old enough that I actually learned to type on a typewriter, at least in school. They were still teaching typing on a typewriter. But we had a typing class and a computer class. So I was right on the fence there, but I did have to learn how to use a typewriter. Never use one again. I might buy one to like put on a shelf or something, but you know. So let's look at some kind of like goals and kind of future thinking. Think through, what are three things that if you knew there was no chance of failing, what would you do? And it might be something you're already doing with the risk, but if you just knew you couldn't fail at it, what would you step out and do? Let's come up with three things in that area. All right, does anybody got one they want to share?
Yeah, I have a few. If I knew there was no chance of failure, I would just query the fifth draft of my book to like all the biggest, you know, most famous agents. And then like almost immediately get like a big ass publishing contract with one of the big five and just get like $6 million just like that. Hey, but there's no chance of it not happening. That's exactly what I do.
Yeah. A big bidding war over Jay's novel.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That would be amazing, man. And I'd probably make my tabletop RPG into a browser game so that, you know, you could just log on to Google on a website on Google Chrome and just play it and then make ad revenue. So it's passive income I'm making while other people are playing my product.
That's awesome. Larry, MK, got any big audacious goals that you couldn't fail at?
I kind of said the same thing. Definitely shop the script around. Maybe move to LA, actually. At least go out there and spend some time out there and shopping around. But that's, yeah.
MK, how about you?
Yeah, I said make a feature. Nice. I'm like on the third draft of my book, so I would publish my book. And I'd start a production company. So like, why not?
Yeah. Love it. I love that exercise too, to just allow your, I think so often when we think about things we want to accomplish, what's the first thing we think of? Oh, but this, but this, but this. Like we think of all the things that are going to get in the way. But when we start to think about things and open them up and say, if there were no chance of failure, what would we really try? I think it really gives us a good sense of where we really want to be without all those fears getting in the way. All right, next, I want you to think about three goals that you have, and let's kind of limit it. Let's say in the next year, and I want you to write out those goals as if they already happened. So kind of describe the who, what, when, where, why, how, what you're feeling. Write about that goal as if it's in the past tense. So, MK, it's for you. I have just got done filming my feature. I feel, you know, elated. I'm so proud of the work that we did. I'm grateful for the team around me. I'm excited for these next steps to get it out into the world. So just kind of write about it in those terms of as if it's already happened for you. And then once you have those three written out, I want you to take one and focus on three specific highlights of that experience. So again, let's say it was to make a feature. Maybe one of those highlights would be we ran into a story problem while filming. Maybe we lost a location or something, and I had to creatively problem solve that, and we ended up with an even better version of the script. Or maybe it's we got the perfect actor that we were looking for, and now I have this great working relationship with this person I really respect. So come up with really three really specific highlights from that experience, from one of those goals. All right, who's got one of these they want to share?
All right, so the goal I picked was I finished my fifth draft, polished it, and successfully got an agent. And one of my highlights would be I gained a writing mentor through a pitch contest.
Cool. I love that. Love the specificity of it. That's awesome. Anybody else want to share one?
Sure. I did the one where I finished production, my first feature, and we're excited to go into post. And then one of them was we picked up some excellent producing partners who are interested in financing the next movie.
Cool. That's great. And by the way, I did this kind of mental experiment with a life coach I was working with about a year and a half before we shot our feature. And so I did this I've got a paragraph. I think I posted about it after we had gotten done with it, but I had written out, you know, exactly that moment that we had just gotten done filming. I was describing what it felt like. And then it came true about a year and a half later. So I love these kind of thought experiments because I really do believe that putting this stuff out into the universe really comes back to you. It just really helps focus the direction that you're going. Larry, you want to share one?
Yeah, well, I chose, I sold my script, which was for one of my TV shows. And I think the highlight for me would be assembling a writing team. Cool. And just hiring writers and making more. Because I think with television, it's definitely a collaborative effort. Mm-hmm. And that was one of my other goals was I was hired as a writer on a writing team. For a TV show, an existing TV show.
Fine.
So,
love it.
But I think I would, you know, that's something I have imagined, you know, saying, well, I want this writer. Can we ask him and, you know, or ask her and try to get, you know, different writers because I can't do this myself. Definitely. Yeah. Especially, you know.
Yeah. That's exciting. What a cool goal and what a cool highlight from that goal. All right, to follow up that one, I want you to think about that big goal with those highlights that you just said, and I want you to think about yourself right now, and what is the next step that you can take to get there? So what is the thing that you can do the second we get off this call that is going to take you a little step closer to that big, crazy goal that you just envisioned? So you might want to share one of their next steps.
I picked pitching my script to producers or someone within the business who could get it produced. And that's probably the next.
Do you have a process for getting in front of those people and
pitching? Stage 32, I mean, has a lot of, I mean, you have to pay for it, but at this point, I think that's the, that's probably the easiest way, even though it costs money. Yep. So that's and try maybe, you know, enter in contests, I guess that's the other way.
That's awesome. I really think that those organizations like Stage 32 or like Roadmap that I've mentioned before really go a long way of helping bridge those writers in the middle of nowhere and the people looking for content. So I think that's awesome. Jay, you were going to say something as well?
Yeah, I was going to say right now I could probably find more pitch contests to submit to. No matter what the pitch contest is, they always advertise it on Twitter. So I could easily just, you know, search through Twitter to find more pitch contests to get a mentorship through. And I could always, you know, whenever I'm at my computer, I could always work on my outline and get through it so I could start writing the first scene.
Cool. Cool. So next, maybe take a step back from writing and just looking at your life in general. Look back over the past 10 years. And what are three of your favorite moments? Just times in your life where that was a peak experience for me that maybe it's when you were happiest, when you felt most fulfilled, when you felt most creative. List out some of those. Hey, do you have a peak moment you want to share?
Yeah, I have one. So I two came to the top of my head. I'll share one of them. So this was back in 2017. It's not really a writing goal, but writing moment, but it was an important moment for me. I was dating a girl named Claire, and we had an argument, and we both apologized to each other, and we were both like sincere about it. And she was really happy because I was one of the only men she ever knew who had like that kind of bravery to like actually apologize and actually be emotionally available. And so she really, really loved me after that. And it was nice. That made me feel happy because like most of the people, men and women that I grew up with were incorrigible, you know, like would straight up, you know, slap you in the face and then gaslight you for saying, hey, why'd you slap me in the face? You know?
So here's the follow-up question with that, and I'll ask for each of you if you share one, is what was the kind of core value from that experience? What was the, if you could sum it up in a single word, so Jay, maybe your example is vulnerability, or maybe maybe it's empathy, maybe it's forgiveness, and like really tying that up into a single word. And again, why I like to do that is it really helps us show what our values are, the stuff that we really strive for in life, the stuff that we really appreciate for in life, the stuff that we want to be more of. And so I like when you can sum it up in a single word like that. It's something that you can wake up every day and focus on. How can I be more vulnerable today? How can I be more empathetic today?
Yeah, that's actually exactly it. Empathy and vulnerability. It's a huge part of my novel because the main character, he gets to romance the love interest, not because he's so strong and not because he's so smart. He's actually kind of an idiot, but rather because he's emotionally available. He's emotional in a way and vulnerable in a way that makes her fall in love with him. And it's his biggest power. His heart is his biggest power, more than just his sword arm is.
That's great.
And so that's like something I want to be. Growing up, I was often praised, oh, Jay, you're so smart. You're so this. Like, you know, I wanted people to understand you could be the smartest knife and, you know, tool in the shed, but you kind of have to be emotionally a person too. Emotion, logic is just a tool, and emotions are an important tool too.
That's awesome. MK or Larry, do you guys have one of these peak experiences and maybe the value that you focus on in that experience?
I put graduating from college. I mean, nice. I think I graduated 10 years ago, like this week, if I think about it really. Yeah, like I'll have to go back and really think about it, but I think so. But it was persistent, like just doing it every day, that consistency of doing things every day, and the goal paid off, which is a nice reminder for me because I notice I get kind of like, if it's getting tough, I'm like, I'm going to put this down for a minute.
Yeah.
And it's like, push through that and keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. College is a great example too, because it does have a, even though it's a very long, difficult process, it has a beginning and it has a clear beginning. It has a clear end, you know, whereas writing a lot of times doesn't. But the same principle applies for sure. What about you, Larry?
Traveling has always been
nice.
You know, just
nice.
And I've been, you know, been to a few places, but I think the one I think I'm going to share is, I had a friend that used to live in Seattle, Washington. So I went to visit him one time out there, and it was probably around 10 years ago. And I rented a car this time so we could drive around, and we drove out to Rosslyn, Washington, which is was the setting where used for the exteriors on the show Northern Exposure, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. And everything is pretty much the same. I mean, a lot of the buildings, you immediately recognize a lot of the buildings. The brick which is an actual restaurant, is there. The mural, the Rosslyn's Cafe mural. So, I mean, that was just, you know, immersive. You imagine that, you know, any of the characters could have popped out at any time.
Yeah.
And it was just the light. I was so happy.
Yeah. So what's the core value that kind of comes out of that for you?
I mean, it's just delight. I mean, it was just, you know, being where, you know, the characters were standing and
that's cool.
Sitting and yeah. I found out the brick is a lot bigger on the inside than what's on the what's on TV.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was still there. It's a really nice place.
That's cool.
And then we went to Snoqualmie Falls, which is not too far away, which is where Twin Peaks was filmed or set. And we saw the falls, which is probably the best thing.
That's awesome.
There. And we had cherry pie at the diner, which actually burned down and they had to rebuild it.
Oh, wow.
It's still pretty cool.
Yeah. My wife and I have also done a great trip to Seattle, which I fell in love with the library there, which is like this 6-story library that's just absolutely gorgeous. We spent half a day just at the library walking around.
Wow.
Cool. So, all right. Last one on this section, which is, what are 3 ways you can grow yourself this year? So thinking about books, podcasts, workshops, communities like this one, what specifically do you want to work on in yourself? And how are you going to do that? So over the next year, how are you going to invest in yourself? All right. Does anybody want to share one of those? What you feel like you need to work on over the next year and how you're going to accomplish that?
Yes.
More pitching, nice. More writing and more context. That's the 3
cool things
that I have to work on.
Yeah. What I like about that, the word more, Larry, which I think is great, that you phrased it that way, is that, you know, the more we do something, the less scary it gets. The more mm-hmm. we do something, the less it hurts when it fails. The more we do something, the more we learn and grow. And I think just having more at bats and that idea of quantity produces quality, you know. Jay or MK, you guys got one?
Yeah, I was going to say I want to go to social meetups at least once a week.
Great.
Preferably, I'd like to go in person, but that's not always possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask how often that's happening now. Where are you? MK, you got one?
Yeah. I started redoing the artist way. I haven't done it in like years, but like, you know, one of the things she said is go on an artist date. So I want to still go on artist date once a week and just explore things and, you know, see other pieces of art and let those kind of wash over me.
Yeah, I love that. I just saw yesterday, actually, this artist who posted about that, where she was like reading in the artist way and talking about going on these artist dates, which I'd read the book before, but it had been like, you know, 10 years for me too. So I love that concept of just going out and soaking up something and letting that inspire your creativity. Because I think, you know, following on the heels of what I just said of like, just create, you also have to have something that you're taking in so that you have something to come out. I love that idea. Do you have some specific ideas for you, what you want to do for your artist date?
Yeah. I watched The Great Pottery Throwdown. So like, I was like, now I kind of want to take a pottery class because it's so interesting. Like visual art and like doing that kind of stuff is so interesting from writing because they just kind of, some of them go in with the design, but they're like, sometimes the clay just speaks to you. And then you're like, oh, this is what it wants to be. And it's like, I felt that way with some scripts. So I'm like, I would like to, you know, make something with my hands and see how that works.
That's cool.
And LA has great museum exhibits. So I'm like, I can always just go to a museum and see some new art.
Have you been to the Academy Museum yet?
Not yet. I want to go in August. They're going to do like a Black cinema exhibit. Oh, nice. So I'm like waiting to go for that. I was like, please hurry up and put it up so I can go.
That's cool. I haven't been either. I'm looking forward to getting out there and trying it.
A friend of mine went, he's like, it's amazing. Cool. Like, they did a really good job. Like, the delays were kind of worth it.
Nice. That was actually another thing we did in Seattle, Larry, was they have a pop culture museum there that was really, really cool. That had a bunch of like props from old sci-fi movies and all
that stuff. That's over by the Space Needle.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We didn't ever go up.
So. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So on the back half of this call, we've only got about 15 minutes left. But I wanted to share a few things that have just been sitting with me this week, because I generally find that when I have a recurring theme happening in my life, it's something I should pay a little bit of attention to. So I'm not totally sure how all these things come together, but I'm going to share three things that I kind of experienced this week, and maybe you guys can piece them together. And then I've got an exercise maybe that will help us do that a little bit too. So the first is I'm reading this Jerry Seinfeld book. It's called Is This Anything?, which is essentially just all of his bits from his entire life. So it's like all the notes that he's taken down to turn into to stand-up routines. But my favorite parts of the book are actually in between, where he gives a little bit of context. He doesn't spend a lot of time doing it. I wish there was more of that. And I kind of want to find more of his stuff. But he talked about how after the show was done, Seinfeld, he spent about 2 years just doing nothing. And he would go to see his friends perform, doing stand-up and all that. And he was like, gosh, I want to do that again. And he's like, how are these guys doing this thing? He's like, oh, wait, I do that. And so he was sitting with, I think, Chris Rock. And he's like, hey, I want to get out and do material again. And Chris Rock was like, well, you know, there's only one way to do it. And he's like, oh, you're right. I have to go out to clubs. I have to try out this flimsy material and keep doing it night after night until it gets better. And then he said, if you see a comedian with a ton of great material, the most amazing thing about that is that they were able to crawl on their belly for so long, which I think we often forget. We often look at a screenplay that's just so good and we say, oh my God, why is that person so talented? Or we watch Jerry Seinfeld do stand-up and we're like, oh my God, why is that person so talented? But you forget that even the people at the top spend weeks, months, years developing that material, developing their skill set, getting better and better, rewriting, doing something over and over, which is a really good reminder for me when I get stuck in those dumps, when I'm in the middle of that crawling on my belly. I forget that it's actually leading somewhere and it's all kind of adding up and leading to something else.
It's called crafting.
Yeah, that's great. And then there's another passage. I had this book sitting around and I actually started writing a book a couple of weeks ago, and I was looking for like formatting ideas, which, by the way, I'll send you guys a copy of that book sometime this week for everybody in the group. But I picked up this book called it's called Drops Like Stars. That's backwards for you guys, isn't it? Yeah. It's straightforward. So it's this guy, Rob Bell, who's kind of like a post-Christian spiritualist thinker, but he talks a lot about creativity and stuff. And I wanted to read, he kind of does commentary on this passage from a book. The book is by Suzanne Howwatch, who I haven't heard of. But I want to read this passage just out loud because it really kind of stuck with me. He says, but no matter... Anyways, Harriet in the story explains how she sees the world through her work. She says, but no matter how much the mess and distortion make you want to despair, you can't abandon the work because you're chained to the bloody thing. It's absolutely woven into your soul, and you know you can never rest until you've brought truth out of all the distortion and beauty out of all the mess. But it's agony, agony, agony. I'm laughing because it's so true. While simultaneously being the most wonderful and rewarding experience in the world. And that's the creative process, which so few people understand, which I know all you guys can relate to this. She continues, it involves an indestructible sort of fidelity, an insane sort of hope, an indescribable sort of, well, it's love, isn't it? There's no other word for it. And don't throw Mozart at me. I know he claimed his creative process was no more than a form of automatic writing, but the truth is he sweated, enslaved, and died young, giving birth to all that music. He poured himself out and suffered. That's the way it is. That's creation. You can't create without waste and mess and sheer undiluted slog. You can't create without pain It's all part of the process. It's in the nature of things. That was one of those passages we talked a lot about. I always talk about like the mirror box thing of seeing yourself reflected. And that was one of those passages of just reflecting back, you know, the past 15, 20 years creative journey that I've been on. And I felt just a lot of healing from hearing someone else say that. It's a journey you're stuck on. You can't get off because you're committed to it. It's a slog and it's painful, but that pain all leads to the work in what eventually comes out of you. So there's those two stories, the Seinfeld story, that Rob Bell passage. And then there is, I was reading through, I'm doing a rewrite on my kind of big sci-fi comedy adventure movie. And so I was like, I want to see how they wrote like Men in Black. So I was looking at Men in Black 3, which the version I have is completely different from the final version. So it's been really fun to compare and contrast. But it reminded me of this character in Men in Black 3. And in the script, it's a whole race of characters who they see the past, present, and future all at once. And it really made me think of how frozen we get in time because we don't, because we have our past in the past and we spend so much time being focused on our mistakes or so much time being focused on when we had it good. Or we have the future where we're so worried about it, or we're like, are we going to accomplish these things? Or we're spending so much time focusing on the future, we don't spend any time focusing on the present. And I thought it was a fun thought experiment to just look at, and you know, Arrival, the movie Arrival played with this idea too of what would happen, how would it change the way we looked at the world if we saw it all at once as opposed to being divided up by time. And so I thought it was just a fun thought experiment to say, how would it change how you look at the world if you could see it all at once? And what I love about that thought experiment is when I go down that path, I start to see the moments where I struggled the most in my past, and where all that struggle led. And you kind of, when you can see it all at once, the struggle doesn't seem so bad because you know where it's leading to, you know where it led to, you know where you are today and where you arrived to, and how you look back before all that pain and struggle and you had all these stupid goals that you never thought you would actually accomplish, and then going through all that in order to get there. So just something to maybe think about for you guys throughout this week of looking at it when you look at your life all at once. And it's, you know, obviously easier to do in the past, but we can apply that to the future. What are the lessons we've learned in the past that we can apply to the future? And so that leads to this final exercise for you guys. So I want you to think about three moments that just left you down. Three moments that we absolutely loved about our past. Now I want you to think about three times in your life that were real struggles or real downers or real disappointments. And we're going to put a kind of spin on those things. But first, just think in your brain and come up with three of those moments for you where things just went completely off the rails. And because these are so personal and potentially heavy, I'm not going to ask you to share them all. But we're running out of time, so I'm just going to kind of let you sit on them. But the next question I want you to ask about those experiences in your life is, how did they make you grow internally? How have they made you stronger? How have they challenged you? How can you reframe these negative experiences that maybe every time that you look back on them, you just think about, you know, the negative of them? How can you reframe them and say, how have these changed my life? What is the ripple effect from that moment until today that is a positive spin on that? And then the inverse of that. So what about those experiences maybe made you weaker, or maybe they put a roadblock up, or maybe caused a seed of resentment in you somewhere? I want you to think about the way that those experiences changed you in the negative, and if there's some part of you that you can unlock again. Maybe think about what changed for the negative and if there's something that you can find that part of yourself again and unlock it in some way or bring a positivity back to it. And then final two questions about those down moments is how can you use this experience to help others? You know, maybe it's people who are also going through that experience and you bring some authority to it because you've been through it and you've survived. And then how can you use that experience in your writing? So I also tell the story, I often tell the story of after my best friend passed away, I met with his father. And his dad at the time was working kind of in, I don't know, something in executive world in the middle of nowhere. But after his son died, he became a pastor. And I sat down with him because I was kind of struggling with a lot of stuff at the same time. And he said the reason that he became a pastor is because he's gone through this heartbreak that he hopes no one ever has to go through alone ever again. He's like, if I can help people go through that experience, that's what I want to do with my life. So he took this thing that was incredibly destructive in his life, incredibly negative experience of losing his child, which no one wants to go through. And he could have very well closed off and said, hey, I'm not leaving the house anymore. And you couldn't blame him for that, right? But instead he chose to use this moment in order to help others going through that. And so he was telling that kind of experience to me because at the time I was, you know, divorced and kind of broken and writing wasn't going nowhere and a few frustrations and all this kind of stuff. And he said, he's like, what you need to do with your writing is to tap into these own experiences that you're going through and use that in the same way that I'm using it to help as a pastor, help people go through these experiences. You can use your writing to help people go through these experiences. And so that was the moment that really clicked with me of what writing could potentially be. And it opened up, I stopped writing just kind of random funny things and I started writing things that I think could actually make a difference because I was tapping into this deeper side of myself. And I started writing a lot about, you know, I was a single dad at the time, so I started writing a lot of stories about what it means to raise a kid and what it means to be raised by a parent and dealing with a lot of deeper issues having to do with that. I had lost a father at a young age, so I wrote a lot about what it means to go through, you know, trauma healthily and what that looks like. And I was still writing big, crazy sci-fi action adventure, but I started writing about these very intentional emotional experiences that I had gone through. And what that did for me was not only elevated my writing and made it more personal for other people when they read it, but it provided a lot of healing for me as well, because now these experiences in my life that I always look back on as so negatively now served a positive purpose. And that I could use them to help other people, and I could infuse them into my writing and provide a little bit of healing for people as well. So when you look back on those experiences, you know, what are the ways that they made you stronger? What are the ways you can use them to help others? What are the ways that you can implement those experiences and those emotions honestly in your writing? And then maybe what experiences, what roadblocks did that experience cause that maybe you can open back up about yourself? So before we take off, you don't have to share honestly about any of those things, but I would love to know just any other thoughts you guys have on some of the stuff that we talked about today. I know we kind of ran through all that stuff at the end, but I would love to know kind of what those recurring themes are in your life right now, what you've been learning about dealing with some of this on the writing journey.
One of the recurring themes in my life is that, like, you have to fail before you can succeed. Mm. Like, it's not that, you know, some people say, oh, failure is not an option. It's not an option. And it's not just an option. It's a necessity. Mm. You can either be, everyone fails something at some point, right? So you could either choose to let your failures define you. You could use your failures as stepping stones.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just saw this video today. The lady, I can't remember her name, she created Spanx and ran the whole company, big entrepreneur lady. And so she said that when she was a kid, her dad would ask her every day when she got home from school, what did you fail at today? And if she didn't have something, he'd be like kind of disappointed. But the goal was to kind of redefine failure for his kids. Like failure is not doing something and not succeeding. Failure is not trying to do something. And I thought that was a really cool perspective on that.
Yeah. And I think what you might think of as a failure is actually just a setback. Mm. I mean, it's failure is such an, seems like an absolute word, very absolute word, that, you know, it's either success or failure.
Yeah.
That's a result. But in trying, you know, in the attempts, it's setback or progression. And yeah. I think that's, you, if you look at it that way, maybe that's a better way that'll get you to success.
Yeah. And we have such a good perspective on that as writers, because we write characters who fail and fail and fail and fail. So that we know, I have we have a shirt in the Scriblast store that says, I'm not a failure, I'm just in my second act, which is what is true about our characters. And we recognize it in our characters of, we know that they're going to hit this low point, but we know that we're going to bring them up in the third act and they're going to succeed. But in our own lives, it's so hard when we're in that low point, and it's so hard to see the third act. But just to remember that it is a journey, and it is a constant kind of up and down. And sometimes when we're down, we got to remember it's going to come back up. Mm-hmm. MK, any final thoughts from you?
Well, I've been, my question of the week has been, are you being self-destructive? Mm. Which was in the artist way this week. I'm in week six, I think.
Wow.
And it was like, not self-destructive in the sense that, you know, you're doing a lot of drugs or you're drinking, but like self-destructive in the sense that you're like hiding yourself as an artist. So you're like, you're stopping before you start, or you're not putting yourself out there and things like that. And I've just been kind of like looking at my past behavior, and I'm like, you kind of have, you kind of been stifling yourself out of fear. Mm. And I don't, fear of what, I guess, would be fear of failure. But if failure is necessary and, you know, you have to fail in order to succeed, then fear of what? It comes back to like, why are you so afraid? So that's what I've been kind of percolating on all week.
That's such a great question. And I struggle with the same thing all the time. And I think what the real fear is absolute failure. Kind of what Larry was talking about, was that I will never become this thing I want to become. Which we have to be honest with ourselves, that might be the case. But at the end of the day, do I want to live a life where I haven't tried, where I just gave up on the thing, where I, you know, would never know? Or would I rather spend my life moving towards this thing? And, you know, we have all experienced it, like writing in this community, and everything that writing brings to us brings joy to our lives in an everyday sense. And so a life without that is a pretty crappy existence, is it, much more than if we try and fail. But I think that's a big part of it is, and I ask myself every day, am I going to get to the end of my life and like, I just felt like I wasted all these years? But I don't think it'll ever feel like a waste when we are creating something out of nothing, and we're giving of ourselves, and we're feeling fulfilled because each one of us has this desire to write inside of us. And it is such a fulfilling kind of value within us.
I mean, I think about failure, and I think about the stuff that I like, quote unquote, failed at. And it's like, it wasn't a failure because it's like, I wasn't meant to be there, so I can be here. Like, yeah. I moved to New York, and it was like, I wasn't supposed to live in New York. I was supposed to live in LA. So it's like, I can't succeed in New York because I'm supposed to live in LA. So like, that's kind of how I'm thinking about these big things at the time, where I was like, that was so devastating. I can't believe I failed at that thing, where it's like, you didn't go that way because you weren't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, there's a reason. That's great. Which goes back to that, like, seeing it all at once kind of thing. Like, in that moment, I'm sure it was devastating to feel like you failed the move to New York. But in hindsight, you have so much more perspective. That's awesome. That's really great. You guys, this was incredible chat today. I'm very, very grateful for all of you to be vulnerable and share these things. And it was very healing for me, and something I definitely needed. So I really, really appreciate you all, and look forward to our next one, which I will post in the group this week and let you know we're meeting again.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks so much, guys. Talk to you soon. Right. Have a great week.
See ya.
Have a good week.
You too.
Thanks to MKJ and Larry for joining me on today's chat. Hope you guys got as much out of it as we did. If you're looking for more of this kind of community, we do bi-weekly Zoom calls just like this in Script Blast Members, which provides courses and community to help you be more consistent with your writing. You can get all access free for a week at members.scriptblast.com. And don't forget about my new book, Writing Unforgettable Characters, now available for just $7.99 on Amazon. We'll be back with new episodes soon, but in the meantime, keep writing.